Maloney and Fourier on WEEI.
All right, welcome back. MFers with Fitzy here. It's Friday at 4 o'clock, which means it's time to talk to our friend Mike Lombardi. Our conversation with Mike Lombardi is sponsored by Zooty. You can build any app your company needs in 1 week. You can visit Zooty.com for details. And by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Joining the show on the Harbor One Hotline right now is Mike Lombardi. Mike, how you doing this week?
I am great, guys. How we doing?
I'm good. 25-6 over the Jets, and we look back at that game. I'm curious. You looked at Zach Wilson. Was Bill really kind of doing anything that was confusing him, or was that just a young quarterback and kind of not ready right now?
I think he's not ready. I don't think he did anything to confuse him. I mean, the first interception, he's got Bentley running in his face, and, you know, it's kind of gets rid of the ball, and the receiver, he throws it behind the receiver. That wasn't confusion. That was more panic. I mean, he underthrew the one to J.C. Jackson. The one to McCourty was just a horrendous throw. I don't know what he was thinking about on that throw. So, look, they can't protect him. It's been a problem for them. The first game, it was a problem. And they have no center. They have no foundation as an offense, which makes it really hard.
Yeah, so I look at Zach Wilson, and I hate when – you know, people already kind of, you know, judge the future of a young quarterback after two games. But I do feel like there's certain traits that are obvious. And one of those is that just, you know, the way he was throwing up those balls, Mike, just like the lack of, you know, awareness of what that does to a team. It's like I call it a, you know, something rather than nothing syndrome. And I feel like he has it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little, look, Darnold had it there, too. I mean, what I call it is you're either coaching it or allowing it to happen. That's what I call it. And I mean, you got to stop it. I mean, you got to be the coach. You've got to be demanding of we're not going to turn this ball over. We're not going to lose the game before we can win the game. And, you know, it's easier said than done. But if you tolerate it and if you continue to go down that direction, it's going to be a problem. And I think that's what they have to do. And I think that was the problem with Darnold. I mean, Darnold turned the ball over quite a bit. And nobody, and they never really worked around what his strengths and weaknesses were. I think Carolina's done that.
In a lot of ways, Mike, it's almost like Zach last week was the anti-Mac. Like, checkdowns and short passes were available, and that's what Mac Jones continues to take, and the Patriots grind it out and slowly bring the ball up the field. But Zach was trying to make plays and get chunk yardage. Speaking of which, that's obviously been a big topic around here this past week. Is it time to let Mac Jones air it out? Do you think starting this Sunday against the Saints in anticipation of what's looming next week, we finally see the Patriots let Mac Jones air it out?
Well, I think a lot of that has to do with, can they protect well enough? I mean, Mac had a chance for a touchdown pass to Hunter Henry or in the second quarter, I think it was, maybe, you know, over on the right sideline. And, he got pushed in his face. He didn't have enough time to see it, to throw it. So all the throws, I mean, don't go throw the ball down the field. I think a lot of this is trying to get everybody to come together on the same page. I mean, you got a lot of new faces in that building. And I think part of that is trying to get everybody working together and figuring out what they do best. I mean, the crossing route, I think the throw that Mac Jones would like to have back, the crossing route on 3rd and 10 to Janu Smith over there, I mean, that's a touchdown if he makes that throw. That's a touchdown. I mean, that was – they had that thing well blocked, and he's going to walk it into the end zone. But unfortunately, you know, he made a bad throw. The kid didn't catch it, and the play dies. So I think they're closer with their execution than you might think. It's just going to take more time.
Well, see, those are the little ones there, too, Mike, because we pointed out, too, the double pass. Like, the minute he caught it, he checked down to Jonnu Smith, and Aguilar was deep.
Yep.
And it's a double pass. That first look has got to be deep first, no? So it looks like he's passing some of that up.
Yeah, I think he's being very careful, and I think he wants to protect the football. And I think the more he plays, the more comfortable he gets, the better off he'll be in that area.
Yeah, see, two things for me. Like, that Jonnu Smith incomplete, I feel like Smith was just as – at fault as Mac Jones, because Smith mistimes his jump. If he doesn't panic and jump too early, he catches that ball and probably gets a big gain. I don't know if you saw it the same way or not.
I just felt like if he just that's too
made
easy,
it easy.
Throw, put it on him.
Yeah.
Just put it on him.
Yeah, because I also feel like now I got two more. I also feel like quarterbacks who throw the ball to receivers who drop it or if it goes through their hand, just like Corey Davis last week, they should be hit with an interception, not the quarterback. If the quarterback throws the ball and it's in the hands and the dude drops it, why does the quarterback blame for that? Like, he did his job.
I don't know. I can't explain it. It's like, why do we count why do we count rebounds on missed free throws in the NBA? It's a true rebound. I mean, it's nobody can test it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you got to take some of this layer out. Like, it's the same thing with the quarterback. You know, you throw, like, on Zach Wilson, he threw three bad balls. He deserves those interceptions. But sometimes you get the ball tipped up in the air because the receiver drops it, and that's on the quarterback. He has to take a – his quarterback rating goes down. I think that's – I think you have to streamline that and really evaluate the tape, because some of these interceptions aren't the fault of the guy. Like, for example, Justin Herbert throws an interception in the red zone last week against the Cowboys. The receiver tripped going through there. Well, it's a timing route. He's got to let that ball go, and he's expecting the receiver to be at that point. It's picked off. He looks like he messed up the coverage, but – really, the receiver, you know, he gets tripped on the – nobody even touched him and he got tripped.
Okay, so the one thing that Fitzy was talking about was throwing the football. So just looking at reasons why the Patriots would decide to throw it instead of, I guess, run it. Like, I just look at the Saints defense, and, I mean, they're pretty good against the run. I mean, I don't know. If you're looking at that as the first sign of why they should throw it, do you feel like maybe they would air it out more, spread it out more?
I think a lot of this is going to come, can they block the front? Can they get Cameron Jordan under control? Can they make sure they've got Peyton Turner, the first-round pick, and all these guys that they have under control and handle them and block them and feel like they've got a good pocket to let the route go? I mean, Dennis Allen is going to heat it up now. He's, you know, he loves the blitz. He loves to take chances. And this secondary has not been very good. I mean, last week they didn't have Lattimore. They've already got, you know, they got Desmond Trufant in there. They got Bradley Roby, who they traded for. Malcolm Jenkins is not the same player we saw in 2015 when he intercepted that pass in Philadelphia and ran the other way for 99 yards. Not the same player. So I think there's going to be opportunities for them to throw the ball, particularly as they get into formations where Dennis Allen's got to declare whether he's coming or not, and then Mac's got to make good decisions with the football.
Now, Mike, I believe you had previously mentioned here, I think even on these airwaves a while back, or last season as Cam Newton was struggling, that perhaps Jameis could have been a good fit on the Patriots, or that maybe the Patriots should bring him in or take a look. Now knowing who the Patriots have, someone who's obviously that they're being very smart, they're being conservative with, and Jameis had one good game and one lousy game, who do you think is the better fit for who, and do you still think the Patriots should have taken a look at Jameis?
Well, I think ultimately you always want to look at everybody until you have one, right? And so, you know, my interest in Jameis last year was really predicated on the fact that who was going to come in. We needed somebody to throw the football. And I think they made a decision that he just doesn't protect the football well enough, which is true. I mean, the guy was a turnover machine at Florida State. He had a career turnover year under the first year with Bruce Arians down at Tampa. You know, now I'm sure Sean will get him under control more in New Orleans because he's really good at that. But I think what they have in Mac is really solved the problem. I think he's given them a chance to have exactly the kind of quarterback that fits what Josh McDaniels wants to do with this offense.
All right, Mike, we all look, no Bill Belichick. Let's take away the option Corey Davis. It looked like last week. But look at this Saints offense. Other than Kamara, he shuts down Alvin Kamara. And you tell me if he can or he can't. But how do the Saints move the ball if they shut this guy down?
Well, I mean, they, you know, Callaway's a good receiver. We haven't heard a lot of him, but he's got some skills. And Sean's a really good coordinator. I mean, Sean's outstanding. I mean, you don't get the ball to a guy who's doubled most of the time, 120 times or 140 times like he did to Michael Thomas, without being really good and precise with his game planning and forcing the adjustments from the defense. I think the concern you have is when Taysom Hill comes in the game and he runs some of that wildcat stuff, how does that react? I think they've got to pressure Winston into making decisions, make him have to play fast. And I think when he plays fast, that's not as effective. That's what Carolina did to him last year.
All right.
And you got to keep Kamara at bay. He's a hard player to control.
Okay, so the game that everybody wants to kind of hurry up and be over so they can start talking about Tampa Bay Patriot Week would be Tampa versus the Rams. Who you like in that game and why?
You know, I think the Rams have played really well last week. I thought that they, you know, the Colts, they gave up a cheap touchdown on a hit the guy's hip. The Bucs defensively haven't been the same team that we saw in the Super Bowl. Their pass rush has to win. Their secondary hasn't played as well. This Ram offense is really good with Stafford. I mean, they're not going to try to run the ball because it's hard to run the ball in the Bucs. They're going to throw the football. They'll run their play action even though they can't run the ball. I think the home game favors the home team here. I know road teams have been winning quite a bit lately, but I would go with the Rams here if it were me.
Mike, first, real quick, nice job on the Patriots 2001 A Super Bowl Sound Odyssey podcast. My buddy put that together, and I know you had great ties to Oakland and New England on that podcast series. But speaking of having ties to somebody, I would like if you could possibly let us know, you got someone like New Orleans coming in Sunday. We all think the Patriots should win, but how does somebody like Bill Belichick get everyone to like tune all the noise out and not focus on next week's game? Because we want to talk about Pat Saints, but that's all everyone is talking about now. What did Guerrero say? What did Tom Senior say? What is Brady thinking? What's Gronk thinking? How does Belichick get them to focus on this game before the emotional Armageddon of next week?
I think he shows tape, a good Saints tape, and he puts them in the meeting room and he says, fellas, here's where we are. And I mean, you know, and he's very good at keeping you in the moment. That's one of the strengths of Coach Belichick, is to be able to stay in the moment and focus on what's at hand. And I don't think there's anybody in that building that's looking ahead to next week. I think Monday morning when they come in, they'll get talked to about next week and what to say and how to say it and what to prepare for. But for this is a huge challenge. I mean, this is a huge challenge for them. You know, they're not exactly a 10-point favorite to win the game. It's a field goal game. It's going to be a hard game to win. I mean, it's going to be a back-and-forth game. I think it is going to come down to a field goal. I think they got their hands loaded with the Saints, and I think it's going to be a challenge. I think that's all he needs to talk about.
Mike, last one for me. Speaking of Brady, what do you make of, you know, Tom Brady Sr., Alex Guerrero, doing interviews a couple weeks before this game, and it seems like Brady certainly hasn't shut this talk down. It's almost like he's talking through them. What do you make of all this?
Well, I mean, I didn't understand what Alex was talking about, because we spent a lot of time, and I've talked about this before, is we spent a lot of time bringing people in to talk about how to deal with millennials and how to bridge the generational gap that was Tom as he was getting older to some of the younger players that were on the team. How do we bridge that gap? I know Coach Belichick spent a lot of time in the 2015 offseason on that. So, you know, I'm not sure what Alex is talking about. I mean, Alex was allowed to come in the building and, you know, to work his craft and build his business up within that building. And when a lot of people were not really of the ilk to believe that he was, you know, that what he was doing was in the same compliance with what the training staff was doing. So, you know, I don't understand why people talk like they do, because sometimes they don't make sense and they have very short memories about actually what happened.
What about his dad? I mean, it just seems like
I mean, look, he's just, I mean, he's, I mean, I'm, look, every,
you think Brady
father,
feels the same way? Brady feels the same way as all these people.
I can't answer that. You have to ask Tom. I know that Tom has, I think what Tom said after all these people talked is exactly how Tom feels. He's got a great relationship. I think, how could he not have great memories of the New England area? I mean, come on, they won 6 Super Bowls. Mm-hmm. You know, to me, it's like, you know, it's a story that I don't think is really one, because I think Tom went to do something that he really wanted to do, which was build his brand. And I think Tom was the unselfish one leaving the Patriots, because he knew that the brand that he built in New England was about team and about basically staying where you are. Whereas if going to Tampa, he can be Instagram, he can be social media. I think it took a lot for Tom to do that.
All right, Mike, listen, thanks for joining us. I know next week, I think a lot of people around here are just looking forward to this game to be over so I can start getting ready for that game.
But I don't understand that at all. Yeah. I really don't. I don't get that at all. I really don't. I mean, I know it's going to be a hard ticket to get, but, geez, I mean, they got a hard game this week. They're going to need the fans to be really supportive in that stadium on Sunday.
All right, Mike, listen, thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you
thanks,
next
guys.
Week. All right.
Thanks,
you
Mike.
Mike Lombardi. I do get it. I mean, I do get it. I think this... It's a very emotional week for a lot of Patriots fans.
Next week?
Yes.
What's the big deal?
I mean, people still go to this game. Whatever. You think they're going to go to this game? I don't know. I want it to be like, I'm not playing. I don't have to get ready for this game. Oh, you need the fans in the stands? The fans will be there. The fans are always there. They'll cheer. It's not a very loud crowd anyways.
Hey, come on with that, would you?
Well, just saying. All right, what do we got? We got Spaz, right?
We got Spaz.
We got Spaz on the street. You got a little project for him this week?
Always.
All right, we're going to hear from that next. Little Spaz on the streets. We'll do that next. Maloney and Fourier.
Now more of the guys. Maloney and Fourier on WEEI.
And now it's time for Spacing Out Sports on Sports Radio WEEI. Hi, Glenn.
I love that. I do love that. We got a little Spaz segment going on. Real quick, though, 4:30, we're going to dive in a little bit of Red Sox, get you ready for this big weekend against the Yankees, and some football continuing both. And at 5:30, Nick Costos. But right now, we got a little Spaz in the street.
Yeah, so we've heard from Tom Brady Sr., backing up Tom, giving all the excuses, giving the reasons why. Damn's right. You've heard from Alex Guerrero, a.k.a. best buddy of Tom Brady. So everybody's speaking out for this guy. Everybody's speaking out. Everybody's giving him, like, just defending him. Someone like, screw it, Spaz, get out on the street, and let's hear the people stand up for Brady. Instead of hearing his family members and his best friends, let's hear from people on the street. So this first person explains how Brady's kind of like a fruit tree.
I know that Belichick said something about Brady couldn't do much without him. If that's true, Brady just proved that Boston need him. He don't need them. A pro football player, quarterback, can prosper anywhere like a fruit tree.
Like a fruit tree. I would ask you both. Can a fruit tree prosper anywhere?
No.
Can a fruit tree? I feel like they're like Florida, certain climates.
Can you grow citrus up there?
No, I don't think so. No. Have you guys ever seen an orange tree up here?
It can't prosper.
A lemon tree, anything like
that? All you do is just ask Ryan Tannehill and Sam Darnold. That's it. You know, can you prosper under Adam Gase? No. Can you prosper somewhere else? Yes.
No, I don't think you can. All right, so this may be the most normal speaking person I think I've ever heard Spaz interview.
Tom Brady made Bill Belichick. He is the one who made them start winning the rings. Bill Belichick, before that, wasn't winning anything. Bill Belichick wasn't the head coach when the Giants won. He did nothing with the Browns. When the Patriots made the Super Bowl in the 90s, he was an assistant coach. Then all of a sudden, he starts winning Super Bowls when he gets Tom. Tom's accurate. He commands the huddle. He checks down. He finds open receivers. And he wins.
Wow.
Whoa.
That was pretty good.
Who was that?
I mean, that was hardcore. I would like to put her and Wiki against each other. See who's got more knowledge.
She would smoke him.
I think she would. Him.
What side of the street is Spaz hanging out with now?
Also, it sounds like she had it all of her teeth.
It sure did.
Like a fruit tree.
Not near that guy. That's
no,
right.
I was actually amazed. He went through the Giants, went through his days in Cleveland, early 90s when he was coaching up Ty Law and those guys. I mean, he really dialed in.
Oh, we're about to level out, though.
Yeah, I know. I feel like we saved the. We played her a little bit too early. So that's fine. Who likes Georgia?
I like Georgia.
Who likes
Peach?
Georgia? You know, when I find that I'm in a tough spot and I need to kind of, you know, use a certain area to kind of to reference up here, I use Georgia.
We just love them.
Whoa, time out. Wait a minute.
What do you mean? Why do you haven't heard what he said?
I just heard wee. What was that?
You haven't heard what he said yet.
Wee. Like, what is that?
He's got to, like, get himself going.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Let him get going.
I'm sorry, play it again.
It takes him a second, then he gets going.
All right, play it again.
We just love them.
We love them.
He took us to a different height. We don't hate Tom Brady, and we'd be happy to see him playing and still winning. I don't think that is Bill Belichick. Tom Brady wanted to leave. I mean, you know, or made it work. Bought him another house or something. Bought him a yacht. You know what I mean? He could have made it work. You know? Yeah, Tom Brady said down there in the wintertime, it doesn't get dark like now. It doesn't, it's cold right now. Tom Brady was just tired of New England. I was tired of New England one day. Went to Georgia.
I was tired.
Went to Georgia.
That's
Georgia.
It.
I like that.
I mean, really?
I mean, hey, like, you get tired of New England, you go to Georgia.
Where would you go?
Where would I go?
Yeah, if you're tired of New England, where would you go?
North Carolina.
Florida? Would you go to Tampa? Hang out with Tom.
Florida's good.
Hang out with Tom.
I like Naples. I like the South. I like the Southwest coast.
Georgia's nice.
Good living. Georgia's a little humid.
Yeah, Georgia's nice. Carolina.
Okay. So
went to Georgia.
And then everything was. Maybe he just needed a quick little break. So. And I think everyone's going to, you know, recognize this young lady. This is the lady that Spaz talks to every week.
I'd bang the shit out of a ninja, though. He's mad sexy. I'd hit it. Bill Belichick should have kept him. He's been loyal to our team this whole time. The more money you put into a team, the more results you're going to get. And the more results you get, the more, like, scholarships you get for your team, the more better players you get for your team, you get better draft picks, you know what I mean? Like, it's just inevitable that we would have won if Brady was with us. And I love you, Tom. Come back home.
Yeah.
And Giselle. I'll take both of you at the same time.
I love it, Dave.
Can I just get like the first 5 seconds of this girl again?
I know. I want to get the five.
I'll take both of you at the same time.
I'd bang the shit out of a ninja, though.
I feel like there's a t-shirt here. I feel like if you wait for it, I feel like there's a really cool, important saying here that could possibly be on a t-shirt before she got to scholarships.
More results you get, the more like scholarships you get for your team, the more better players you get for your team.
Yeah, so the more success you get, the more scholarships you get.
Take both of you at the same time.
I like her.
No, same person every single time. So, Fitzy, did you cry when Brady left? Like, how bad was it? Did you go wee wee?
I got tired. I actually moved to Georgia, Christian. I was way too, you know what it was? We had just gotten shut down a couple days prior, so I was still so emotionally stunted by the pandemic. I don't think, and the fact that I had my kids home all the time, I don't think I ever properly grieved it, if you will.
Okay, so this next guy is kind of interesting because he explains the three times he cried in his life.
Okay.
So I cried three times in my life. When my mother died, first time I went to jail, and when Tom Brady got traded.
Real quick.
Quick and to the
point.
Three times.
Yeah.
His dad dying. The first time he went to jail. The second and third time, he was fine with it. He knew what the hell was going on.
His mom died, his dad died. Which one was it?
So I cried three times in my life. When my mother died, first time I went to jail, and when Tom Brady got traded.
Yeah. You're right. The first time is the
first time.
That's the pickup.
Yeah, and he didn't get traded.
That's a good
one. I mean, I like the fact that the second time, he was fine with it. Like, no tears, no anxiety, no nothing.
Like a fruit tree.
That's it. That's
and
the people.
And now it's time for Spacing Out Sports on Sports Radio WEEI. Hi, Glenn.
That's it.
All right, good job, guys.
At the same time.
Good job. I like that stuff. All right, listen, we got a busy weekend here in Boston. You got Sox, Yanks. I mean, Evaldi Colt tonight. I mean, good God, he ain't up for that one. He ain't up for anything. And you got Pat Saints. We'll talk both of them. We'll do a little Sox talk. That's coming up next.
To first, and they get the double play. How does that hurt?
Yeah, that was not what you were looking for from Xander Bogaerts. Just elevated, but it's hard. It's easier said with done.
I was waiting for
Brad
it. I was waiting for it. I was like, it seems like he's going to choke.
Easier said with done.
He chokes on his own saliva, does he not?
Elevated, but it's hard. It's easier said with done.
So, but hold on. Do me a favor. Play it from the beginning, because if you listen to it, you can see that he's about to trip.
It's hard.
There's going to be a verbal trip.
Yeah, that was not what you were looking for from Xander Bogaerts. Just elevated, but it's hard. It's easier said with done.
It's hard. Easier said with dumb. Okay. Well, there you
go. That was rougher than when he almost killed Castiglione with the Old Bay potato chips in spring training. That was outstanding. Viva Bradfo.
I got good news. Good news for Sox fans. Okay. Good news and bad. Good news for Sox fans. Bad news for the Hubs. What's up? Good news for Sox fans. Looks like the rain's going to hold out tonight.
Oh. Ooh.
So that's going to be a nice little joy. But looks like it's going to be a little bit later on into the city. The bad news for the Hub Sports Hub is that it looks like it might be sold out. Unbelievable.
Damn,
like, people are still going to go. Their boycott
what?
Didn't work.
What are you talking about? People are thinking for themselves?
Yeah, their boycott
what?
Did not work. And you have got, let me tell you something. This is, and I can't remember the last two times these teams have been this close in the standings this late in September. Hmm. I can't. Ryan, you brought up 2007.
07.
They were 4.5 games out. It was like September 13th. Sox were in first. Yanks were 4.5 out. They took 2 out of 3. Okay, 5.5. Whatever. You're talking 2 games separate these two. Last home stand of the regular season. You got 10 games to go and 9 games to go, whatever it is. And you've got the Sox, Yanks, and you've got Cole versus Evaldi. Like, this isn't, you know, Clemens versus Pedro. Don't get me wrong. It'll never be that. However, this is about as close as we've gotten in a long time. A long time. And all you got to do is not get swept. That's pretty much it. Like, you look back about a week ago and you said, okay, after that Yankee series, where do you need to be? And I would have said if you were tied, even if you were down one, you still had a chance. you know, with Baltimore and Washington to end the year. They play Toronto and Tampa. Like, you come out of this up one with that those six games left, you're in good shape. You know, so it's you win one. Win two, you might put them away. Well, you sweep them, they're gone. Win two, they're still in it, but who knows? They got a tough schedule.
And this is, so you mentioned, you're getting what you want. This is what you want.
This is everything.
Like, to have this game be so important this late in the season, it's amazing. It's amazing that it's actually getting rid of yours. So we got Evalde and we got Cole, right?
Yes.
Yep. Okay.
So I am candidates.
And then you got Sale.
No
Sale?
No, and that's where it gets interesting.
No Sale?
That's why this game.
I thought Sale was going to pitch the second game.
No, he threw Wednesday. So this is where it gets a little interesting. You got to win this game.
Yeah.
You know, Pivetta, Erod, you know, Cortez, Montgomery, it's like, yeah, you want to win this game, but if not, you'll try to grind out one of the next two. But this is a big one. By the way, no Bobby Dalbec tonight with Cole. Schwarber's at first base. He's batting second. So Dalbec sits for the second night.
Playing the splits.
Yeah.
Ready, lefty.
Yeah. Well, Cole throws hard. And Dalbec has gotten hot. Dalbec has gotten hot, but they've put him in better situations. He's faced a lot of lefties lately. He stay away from high velocity up in the zone, even though he's handled it a little bit better. But they've played him against righties that are a good matchup, and
You know what tonight is prime for?
What do you got?
A fight.
Ooh.
Yes. A fight. A
little joke. You finally got the possibilities of emotions and meaning.
Yes,
something.
And that's my point. So we've been talking about this. We talked about this rivalry, and we put it in air quotes, and it really wasn't a rivalry anymore because either one team was really good, the other one sucked. It's like they weren't really both really good at the same time, and they weren't really battling each other. It was like one team was so much better than the other one. It wasn't even close. So there was no real emotion. There was no hatred. It kind of took a nap. And I feel like this is an opportunity for real tension. Mm-hmm. You have a manager on the Yankees who could possibly lose his job. Who the hell knows what's going to happen with Aaron Boone? And then at the same time, you have both teams vying for the same, for the three teams vying for two positions, and the Yankees actually have an opportunity to snatch a couple of games from you. What would be the pep talk that Aaron Boone would give the Yankees? Like, what would be, because I know what it would be like in football. I know exactly what it would be. It would be a lot of yelling and screaming and a lot of, like, let's eat a W, that
whole
thing.
Let's have some fun and play together.
No, but that's Aaron Boone to me. When I think Aaron Boone, I think Andy Dalton.
See, and baseball's different because you can't give those kind of speeches.
What?
You don't give
those.
It
doesn't work the same.
No, you don't.
Too many games
you don't.
A year.
You don't.
No, but now it's different.
No, but I'm just saying, like, you always talk about, like, the great players slow the game down. No, they don't. They just play it like it's a normal game. It's the people that speed it up that have the issues. So you go on, you have give some rah-rah speech, and I get all fired up, and I can't wait, and I'm up at the plate, and I'm like, I'm going to hit it a country mile, and I swing at the curveball in the dirt.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to smoke this ball. I swing at a fastball over my head. I'm going to smoke it. Change up. I'll strike three. Yeah, and you just start screaming. You know what I mean? Or a pitcher, I'm going to throw this ball by you, and you just miss location. Like, it's not, it is, they know what's at stake. I mean, it might be a little bit, you know, a little extra juice. It's going to be in this game, but overhyped is not the way to play that game.
I mean,
then the emotions come out after the result. That's why you see it. It's like a controlled emotion, and then there's a double or a bomb, and then you see all chaos happen. So I think it's going to be outstanding. It is the first time in a long, long, long time where you've got two teams, as you mentioned, Christian, like this is it.
You know, there's going to be
this.
And you mentioned it's going to be packed, and they've already been talking about the past couple games feeling like a playoff game already.
Wearing yellow,
you can feel the tension, you can feel the electricity in the air. And I'm a fan of the yellow. Even though I know it's basically the Boston Bruins, you know, from like they're biting UCLA colors, but that's fine. I'm down with it. I don't care.
Fitzy,
whatever. Why you gotta come at him like that?
It's
the marathon colors. How good were the Red Sox in 2013 riding the 617 Boston strong? They're hearkening back to the spirit of that team that unified the city, and now we're all rallying around the fact that everyone doubted the Red Sox, and we've been told we're not supposed to like them, and we should abandon this team and be angry at management and not be Red Sox fans at all. And by the way, weren't you the guy who told Cora something very philosophical? We'll say this came from Fourier's cave.
The more you hang around, the more you believe can hang around.
You actually said that to him.
So Fitzy, I was just curious if you had heard my rant yesterday. I mean, do you feel shame like for rooting for this team? Or are you boycotting this team like the Sports Hub wants you to? Or are you allowed to root for this team because you think it should be fun this
weekend?
You
know, the funny thing was, Lou, I could hear your rant yesterday and I didn't even have my radio on.
Really?
You were fired up. You were loud. The waves carried all throughout the six New England states.
Yeah. So the boycott doesn't seem
to
be working.
I tuned in yesterday, as I do every day, of course, to the Mufers.
But I especially made a point of tuning in because I saw your little walking the dog video tweet that you'd put out earlier in the day. Mm-hmm. And I could tell that you had like a burr in the saddle. Like there was a hair across your ass yesterday.
Yeah.
And Angry Lou is a great way to start the day off. Not just because it gets people fired up and because it's call bait and people think we're playing radio. Yes, to many of the callers yesterday who said, yeah, you're just trying to get under our skin like they do. That's the name of the game. We play radio here. However, I have long hoped and wanted and wished people would stop listening to some of the other shows on said other station, which, by the way, guys, just for the record, they're not across the street anymore. They're much further down
the road. Don't ruin the...
Down the road.
Oh, whatever. Come on.
On the other side of the city.
On the other side of the city. Thank you very much, all right? But I, to me, that is just contrarian radio for the sake of being contrarian. Whereas you honestly believe in this team and you are still a passionate fan and broadcaster. And I can't stand when people get on the other side of the speaker and tell you like, you're an idiot for feeling this way. Stop liking this team. You should hate these people. Don't do that. Just because they want your calls and the ratings and then they want to line their pockets with your idiocy all the way to the bank.
Well, I said,
I was so fired up when I saw that yesterday.
Yeah, there's a big difference between sitting there and talking about the Patriots. I don't think they win a Super Bowl or me and Al Horford and saying that don't go to Gillette. They're not worth your money. It's all they want. You should hate this team. Don't watch. Don't listen. Don't do anything. And that's what that place across to actually another side of the city, the Sports Hub, does with the Red Sox. And it's just it's tired. And apparently their boycott didn't work because it looks like it'd be a packed house. So Red Sox fans, you excited? You in on this weekend? Cole Eovaldi, right now. This could be the game one preview. Same two pitchers in October 5th. It could be all set up for that. What do you got?
You know, we before we even, I think on so yesterday's show we totally had a different approach and it switched. I feel like once we came closer to the show, because I feel like our goal yesterday was to pass the wild card game expectations. I feel like they've changed. I feel like the fans, if you're following this team, they've it's been a roller coaster ride. I don't think it's been a straight up just hardcore push straight to the end. It was low expectations. Oh, my God, they're good. All-star break. Okay, good. Let's keep it going. Oh, no, now it's not any good. Oh, now everybody's getting hurt. Now Sale comes back. He's going to save the day. Oh, my God, everybody's got COVID. August, oh, my God, we suck again. And then here comes September.
Yep.
And we're good again.
And then you're good again.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, like, I'm all for, like, all in. I think if they get past this level, if they get past the first wild card game and Toronto gets bounced, let's just say Toronto is the better of the two teams. Would you say Toronto is better? I heard Passan talking about this today with Gresh and Keith, that Toronto is better than Boston and New York, and they're the team that could get bounced. So it could be Boston, New York, and then
in the game.
Yeah.
Well, I think that, first off, it's a one-game play-in.
Yeah.
Who doesn't want that, by the way?
The Dodgers.
Well, yeah. The
Giants.
I mean like here.
No, I get it. And what's playing out in the NL is the reason why I hate the one-game play-in. Because the Dodgers, the Giants, whoever wins that, will be 15, 16, 18 games better than whoever they have to play. And they got to play one freaking game to decide who's better. Really? 18 games? But in this scenario here, you got one or two. And one-game play-in, anything could happen. You could lose to the Orioles. You could lose to the Twins. You could lose to anybody in one game. So it's sort of a crapshoot, okay? So it's sort of like, okay, we'll see. Then you get in that best of five. And it used to be nobody wanted a best of five because, God forbid, if you played like crap for a game or two, you're already down 2-0. So anything can happen there. What's a success? For me, it's a disappointment when they get bounced. You know, I don't think they're going to win the World Series, so I'll be disappointed. But I've already got my money's worth. And I expect them to win that one game playing. And I expect them to play a very good series against Tampa Bay. And if they don't, I'll be disappointed. That's where I'm at. Will it be a failure? Will they choke? No. That's how it'll try to be portrayed by the Hub. There's no question about it. None of those guys thought they'd win more than 79 games. But it won't be a failure. It won't be a choke. It'll be a disappointment like it always is when your team loses. They'll compete. They'll hopefully win that one-game wild card, and I think that'll be a good division series against Tampa.
I never thought they were as good as the crazy record they were putting up on the long streak that went into the All-Star break, but I also didn't think they were as bad as some of these low lows that you talked about moments ago, and, you know, COVID happens, and what are you going to do with it? Well, the team has reacted nicely, and they've recomposed themselves, and they're on a nice run, 8-2 in the last 10. You got 9 games left. This is an epic time to either A, put the Yankees in their place, or just flat-out finish them, or just win enough games to make sure that you're in that in that one-game wild-card play-in game. That's really tough to say. And,
I know.
And do it at home, because guess what?
You want home
you
field.
You want home field, because I'll tell you what, just like sometimes,
dare I say,
hey,
you need home field.
You have the Monday wild-card game, and too bad you may also be playing next Saturday or Sunday in the NFL. You know what would be great?
depending on how the Brady game goes next Sunday, a couple days later, how nice would it be like, oh, man, Mac Jones played the game of his life, but Tom Brady outdueled him. I'm on a sports low. Hold on. Yanks at Sox. One gamer coming up a few days later. Let's go.
I mean, come on.
Come on. That's what I'm talking about,
You do have a
Lou.
Chance to knock him out, which I think is absolutely beautiful. Like, absolutely beautiful to knock the Yankees out. I mean, if you sweep them, I think they're in trouble. But again, you know, I don't know what the Blue Jays are going to do. They lost last night to Minnesota. You know, you're like, what? All of a sudden, this Minnesota team, this Toronto team that I declared possibly the best team in the American League, now all of a sudden they're sort of struggling. And I still think that they are the most talented team in the American League. I do, the Blue Jays. But I don't know if they're going to be able to hold on to this thing. They're now three behind you.
Remember they won seven in a row, and then they had to go play like the Orioles, and you and I were both saying like 2 weeks ago, like, it's a done deal. They're going to get the first wild card. Yeah. Everyone's going to be begging. Then they lost a Friday night game inexplicably, and their best starter, who like had like a one ERA heading into that game over his previous couple starts, got absolutely lit. Yes, Robbie Ray got lit up on a Friday night by the Orioles, and for some reason they've been stumbling since.
Well, they ran into Tampa, good team. They lost two out of three. Yeah. You know, the other thing too is the Yankees. Everybody keeps saying that, like, you know, you want to win so you can rest some guys, and I'm worried that Tampa's not going to play anybody. You know, with the Yankees that final stretch, you got to remember one thing to remember is that you can only have 28 guys in your roster in September. You don't have 38 like you used to have. So that final game of the season, you can't sit all your starters. You don't have anyone on your bench. You still only have five guys on your bench. You don't have eight. You know, you still only have 14 guys in your pen, whatever, eight, nine, 10 guys in your pen. You don't have 16 like you used to. So if you look at the Tampa Bay Rays, I'm not worried about them in that final series because their bench is their starters. They got nights where Lau and Meadows are on the bench, like Choi on the bench, Margot on the bench, Kiermaier on the bench. Like their bench is, that's the reason why they're so good. Like, they can't help but play good guys, just like you. Like, right now, who are you going to sit? Oh, we're going to give who's going to sit? Who's on your bench? Are you going to play Plawecki over Vasquez? Some people would rather see that. What are you going to play, Dahlbeck over Schwarber? You'd rather see that. Like, well, you know, so it's your guys on your bench. Christian Arroyo's going to play second. Like, everybody's bench in September, it's not what it used to be, where you could have 38 guys, and you could watch a game in September and say, why am I watching the AAA team? Not anymore. So that Tampa series with the Yankees, they're still going to be good players, you know, on the field there. So I think it's going to be interesting. What do we got? We got Patrick. Can I dial him up right now or no? Tyler? Can I dial up Patrick here or no? Yeah, I'm going to go to him. There we go. I don't know what's going on there. Patrick, what's up?
Hello?
Go ahead. Yeah.
Hey, Chris and Lou. How you guys doing?
Good.
Huge fan of the show. Second time caller. I just wanted to call in quick. I'm a diehard Yankees fan. I've been a Yankees fan since I was a kid. But I think there's one thing in my life right now that I hate a little bit more than, you know, people who dislike the Yankees, and it's 85 Sports Hub. If, for some reason, the Yankees get swept this weekend, I hope the Red Sox go all the way. I hope they go far into the pennant. I hope they win the World Series. I just want you guys to stick it to them so bad, because I'm passionate about my sports. I think you guys do a great job. We love hearing about the Patriots. We love hearing about the Bruins. Red Sox, eh. But you want to know what? You guys kick ass. I hope you guys have a great weekend. And I just hope you guys knock the station out of the park. Just
appreciate it, Patrick.
What a nice guy.
He's from Framingham.
What a nice fella.
He's from Framingham.
He's one of your,
like
one of your former students.
You start to wonder if that attitude's starting to prevail a little bit. You know, stale. You know, this station was stale over there in 850 for a while, and people just sort of started.
And then we went to FM. Yeah,
and then it was like
we change, stayed at AM too
change,
long.
Change of habits. Change of habits. You know, and all of a sudden now it's like you look at them, and I know it's a habit, but are they getting stale? Do you really like their shows? Or you just
The signal sucked.
So I like that. I think it's going in the right direction right now. Sox, Yanks, that's beautiful. All right, we're going to keep that on the table as well. You can call in, let us know you going to that game tonight, how excited you are for the weekend. Also, Pat, Saints, we want to dive into that a little bit more as well. That's all next here in the final hour of Merlone and Fourier with Fitzy. Oh, by the way, this hour of OMF, oh, no, it's not. It's MFers. Just reading this thing, dumbass. Brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, locations in Dedham, next to Legacy Place in Salem, New Hampshire, online at northeastmenshealth.com.